Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, you caught us in the middle of something funny there. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
So that outfit will look amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's just shown me an outfit she's bought.
I mean,
you wouldn't be disappointed.
You wouldn't.
No.
I mean, I'm sort of going with the I'm not going quietly theme.
Yeah. It'd be very difficult, I think, to categorise your your style. What kind of things does she wear? Anything. What do you mean, though? Yeah, like anything. Like, yeah, like a top hat or something like that to wear. Yeah,
I've just bought
It's not a top hat,
vintage,
that,
is it? It is an actual top hat.
Is it?
It's a vintage top hat.
I thought a top hat would be top more tall than that.
Nope.
But it's very nice. Did you know that that in 1969, the governor of the Bank of England still went to work in a top hat?
Mm-hmm.
In 1969, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
I mean, banks were sticklers for kind of...
like tradition.
Tradition.
Yeah. I'd love to see someone going to work in a top hat now. It would just be, you'd go like...
I mean, my granddad definitely went to work in a bowler.
Yes. Mine probably went in a flat cap. With a whippet, no doubt, and had faggots and peas for his lunch.
And can we just quickly discuss what we did this weekend?
Yeah, I literally can't remember.
We went to my best friend's house.
Yes, we went to the countryside.
And obviously, you've sort of known Sarah the whole time that we've known each other for a very long time.
Yes.
But obviously, as partners, you're new to her as my partner.
Yes-ish,
you know.
Yep.
And this weekend, anybody that's listening would know that it's every girl's dream that your partner... gets on with your best friend's partner.
Yes.
And you really do.
Yes. I mean, you know, I really like Sarah's partner.
Yes.
I mean, he gets me very drunk, though. And I was thinking, oh, Christmas is over, New Year's over. I'm really going to cut back in January.
No.
Oh, let's go and see Sarah and Rancho. Like, what? I mean, I was blind drunk all weekend, basically. As soon as I turned up, I was like, hello, glass of wine.
Yeah,
I was like,
Sunday morning. Not Virgin Mary. Bloody Mary.
Yeah, Bloody Mary, yeah. God, it was non-stop. It was a relief to get home, to be honest, because I was my liver was goosed. So I'm off the sauce, really, now.
But they've given us a weekend worth of amazing podcast material.
Yes, it was good to speak to
them. I've written loads of stuff down because my godson was there and he gave me some great podcasts. One I listened to, I've listened to four eps of a really good new crime podcast that I can't wait to tell you about.
Yes, weirdly, his girlfriend gave me one that I listened to on the way back from the countryside that was also good. So I'm going to talk about that
today.
Yeah. And then there was something...
Isn't that brilliant that you and me are talking to the kids?
We're talking to the kids.
We're still relevant.
What
we've
I would love to know, really, is what did they say about us after we left? Yeah.
Well, I know that Harper, who's my godson's girlfriend, would have said that she thought you were very funny.
Okay.
Because she said that to me secretly.
She said,
he's so funny.
He's
not funny.
Not funny,
funny weird. No, yeah. I'm joking. She didn't really.
I meant he looks funny. That's what she meant.
So what do you,
I was listening to Zoe Ball this morning. I took Joel to school this morning.
Can I just say something?
Mm-hmm.
Zoe Ball is like another one of those women that if I had the time.
Yes.
And she had the time, we'd be really good friends.
You'd be best friends.
I really like her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've met her a couple of times. She seems absolutely fab, but I could sense that you and her would be like...
Oh, yeah. And I love Sarah Cox, and I always think that they're two peas from the same pod.
Yeah. Are you a bit jealous of their relationship at all?
Mm-mm.
Are you not?
No, because I've got Sarah.
Yeah,
I've got
it's
my
okay.
Sarah.
Okay.
So, like, I'm never...
I'm slightly jealous of Ant and Dec. Like, they've had this kind of shared experience throughout their lives where they could fall back on each other, and they've probably both had all these kind of similar things where you could say, what do you think about this? I was going to do this.
You've got Tony.
Yeah, I realise that, but, like, he's not a hairdresser and he's not doing
see,
the same
I
as me.
See,
like,
I see, I see.
When you're in the same business, doing the same thing, you're negotiating for the same fees and all of that kind of stuff, you know, it would just be really helpful to have somebody who's literally having a carbon copy life as you that you could do that with. That
but I think the reason why Ant and Dec are so good is that they're at level pegging.
Yeah.
What would always be difficult
if
you were best
you
friends
off.
With a hairdresser and one of you took off and the other one didn't.
Yeah. Did you know Nicky Clark has got a brother called Michael Van Clark, and he is also a hairdresser?
Wait. His middle name is Van?
From what I've heard, Nicky is called Nicky Van Clark.
Shut up.
I mean, I could have made that up. But Michael is definitely called Michael Van Clark, so I'm assuming Nicky got rid of the Van, maybe, and, you know, just called himself Nicky Clark. But they're both... big hairdressers, and they both have salons.
But
Michael Van Clark is in Marylebone. Nicky Clark is in Mayfair.
Yes, but Michael Van Clark, I've never heard of him.
No, I know, but I tell you, if I took you to his salon, you'd go, wow.
Really?
It's really nice. Yeah, it's on Beaumont Street.
Where is it?
Beaumont Street, I think, which runs parallel to Marylebone High Street.
And how much would a hairdo cost there?
Probably about £300 to me, two or £300.
But, like, he's got the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good staff there. A lot of people ask me where would... because I don't own a salon, people say, well, who would you recommend? I always go, Michael Van Clark.
Oh, really?
They're great, yeah.
And are you friends with him?
Yes, I've known him for a long time. We're not very close friends, but you know when you think, when people ask you for a recommendation and you think, oh, God, like, I might send them somewhere and it's not good. I don't ever feel like that about sending them to Michael Van Clark's. It's you just know they're going to get great service, you know, probably the best people in London.
And they've got an amazing salon.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place,
and
it's
nice
just
to go
really
to.
Good. Yeah, and it's
Do you
one
think,
of those.
Could we just go and have a cup of tea?
Definitely.
There?
Like, it's a people watching place because the most amazing people pass
really
through that salon.
They?
Yeah, yeah. So it's really good.
They should have bars. And coffee, like coffee corners,
they probably do.
In every single salon.
Yes, because it's a good place.
I want to just go and have a coffee and watch people get their hair cut.
Yeah, a friend of mine opened a salon in a kind of cafe.
You went and opened it, didn't you?
Oh yeah, that was one in Amersham. Yeah,
yeah.
Can't remember what that was called, but no, this was one just in the Marylebone area. I walked in there for a cup of tea, and there he was cutting hair in the corner. I was like, "Is this a thing? Is this like health and safety all right about all this?" But it was great. You know, people went there for a coffee and watched someone cut hair for 20 minutes. It's interesting, isn't it?
I've suddenly thought, Mike, I need to write down these recommendations.
Okay, go and get a notebook. I'm sharing your can of Coke Zero with you.
Yeah,
is that okay?
Share.
Still never really worked out why it's called Zero, Coke Zero. I mean, they say it's zero calories. But it isn't zero calories.
Isn't.
There's a tiny bit in there.
I think it is zero calories.
No, it's 5 kilojoules, 1 calorie. So that's not nothing, is it?
Energy. Oh, it's 1 calorie.
So it's got 1 calorie, and then, right, there's no fat or anything like that in it, but it has got caffeine in it, and I thought...
If you're going to be zero, you should
be
zero caffeine.
Of all the stuff.
Please don't say anything negative about it, because I really, really like
it. I love Coke Zero, though, you're absolutely right. I can't drink normal Coke these days, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
So, I was listening to Zoe Ball, going back a bit now.
Yeah.
She said, you know, we had Ricky Gervais on Radio 2 the other day doing My Life in a mixtape, and it's really good. And then she played Into My Arms from Nick Cave, which is the most emotional song you can ever hear. So they played a clip of that, and then they played a few clips of a few other songs, and I just thought, oh. And then she said, you can catch Ricky Gervais's My Life in a Mixtape on the BBC Sounds app or something. And I thought, oh, great, you know, because I went shopping this morning and had a mooch about, and I thought, I can listen to that. It's an hour long. It's on the BBC Sounds, or it'll be on the BBC iPlayer, but it's a radio broadcast that's on Radio 2, and it's a series called My Life in a Mixtape. And there is lots of other episodes of this as well. I pressed play on that, and that was a mistake. Let me just find you who else has done this, because you're gonna really like them.
I was just going to say that My Life in a Mixtape sounds suspiciously like Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, it does, but it's an hour long, and there's probably about 12 songs in it rather than 5.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's the same kind of idea, I think, really, where people talk about things that connect these songs together. What Ricky Gervais has done, quite cleverly, is taken the whole soundtrack of both seasons of Afterlife.
Oh, wow.
And these are all the songs that he used in Afterlife and why he used them.
Oh, God.
But I do remember thinking, what a soundtrack Afterlife is. It's just a really good mix of songs. And he uses, he talks about this as well, but I totally bit down on this, which is, you're using other people's art in order to make new art. Mm-hmm. And that's largely what Afterlife is, really, is he's taking songs from Bob Dylan and David Bowie and Nick Cave and then intertwining them into a story that isn't unrelated to those songs initially, but then start to become related, you know. And I think, love that.
You know, if anybody's listening, they haven't seen Afterlife. Mm. Both series of those are quite extraordinary. And even you don't have to have liked Ricky Gervais ever in the past.
No.
That this is not Ricky Gervais, gobby, rude. This is unbelievably sensitive and nuanced. Yeah. And
it's a love
the most
story,
nuanced.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is, yeah.
So his hour is him. There's no interviewer, so that you don't hear anybody else other than Ricky talking.
What?
Yeah, so he's clearly being asked questions, but they've cut out whoever
well,
asks the questions.
That's quite nice as well.
So it is quite nice. So you're just getting him talking about the songs, what they mean to him, and why he used them in the drama. Mm-hmm. But, oh, God, there were tears everywhere in Sainsbury's this morning.
No.
Yeah, it was too much.
No.
Yeah, there's a lovely David Bowie song in there. There's a Bob Dylan song in there. There's obviously Nick Cave in there, Elton John in there.
What was making you cry?
I don't really know, to be honest. I just think there's a series of sounds or chords or whatever that when you put them together in a particular way, trigger something
in me you.
That make me cry. But, oh,
but
when I got to the pasta
about
aisle.
Art.
Yes. Well, the Jordan Peterson.
Yes, that's what I mean.
About,
there's
yes.
something about music, art, culture, beauty that moves you in a way that is a really good and positive.
It is really positive.
Thing.
And he says he enjoys a song that makes him cry. And I've always felt this as well. It doesn't actually make me sad. It just makes me cry. And I feel happy about the fact that I've listened to a piece of art that's had that kind of power. So I don't ever, if you see me crying, I'm often very happy.
Oh no, I've learned that about you now. I think when I first saw you cry, because pre us getting together, I never saw you cry because we were at work, it wasn't really a thing. But now, you know, I've got to know you a lot better, and that has happened a few times. I have understood that, firstly, I don't need to fix you. That this is not a weep that needs fixing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a weep that needs to come out.
Yeah, yes.
yeah. And that, secondly, that I can maybe watch you enjoy it, which makes me happy too.
Yeah, well, good. My Life in a Mixtape. So Ricky Gervais has done the latest one. James Norton did one recently.
You're saying James Norton, like, question mark? He's only, like, fucking gorgeous.
Is he?
He's not as gorgeous as you, obviously.
Yeah, thanks.
Mark Wahlberg.
He's that. Yeah, thank you. Okay, great. But we're back on track. James Norton did one, and he is that horrible...
Happy Valley.
Happy
he
Valley.
He's
the offender.
Head. He's the offender.
Yeah, horrible offender. David Walliams has done one, which I think I would like to see.
I would love to listen to that.
Oti Mabuse.
I love, oh my God.
We
how
like
much
her,
did Oti
we?
Sing?
Yes, she sang.
I mean, she sings. She's the happiest woman
she was in the dressing
in
room
the world.
Next to us on the Masked Dancer. And it was her and her makeup artist and close
all of them were singing.
It was like
it
the
was
Supremes
brilliant.
Were next door.
It was
they
absolutely
were just harmonising and belting out the whole time. It was utterly brilliant. Ant and Dec have done one. It's quite interesting.
Oh,
I really like to see what they've done. And Vicky McClure, your girl crush there. Ollie Murs and Mel C have done them as well. But they're about an hour long.
Can I just say something? Yeah. Like, we know everybody on that list.
Yes.
I love that.
You introduced me to Ollie Murs recently.
Yeah, and, the nicest man ever, right?
Oh my God, he was so friendly. Yeah, he was. It was one of those things where you think, well, have we got anything to say to each other? And he'd hurt his leg or something like that. And he said, have you ever hurt any bit of your body? And I thought,
I love him so much. That's such an F. That's so reaching out.
Exactly. I thought,
anything.
Oh, you want a chat, then you're come to the right place. And then, bang, after about an hour, I could see him thinking, I've got to get away now. This guy's talking way too much. But joking
was so
aside,
nice.
Yeah, we had a really good time. His girlfriend was really, really
oh
nice.
Oh, my God,
as well.
His girlfriend was gorgeous.
Way too gorgeous for her own good, yeah.
Way too gorgeous.
But yeah, what a great bloke. But what a really nice little thing this is on the BBC Sounds app. So it's completely free. They're an hour long and it's filled with music that But some of it I'd known and completely forgotten it. Some of it I've never heard of before. Some of it's brand new music that I'd never heard before.
Oh, wow.
And then some of it are big classics like Rocket Man. I mean, Elton John's Rocket Man is, it's a very emotive song for me. I don't particularly know why. I don't even know what the lyrics are, you know. I always just think, when he says, I think it's going to be a long, long time to touch down, brings me around, I get to find. I'm not the man they think I am at all. I'm a rocket man. Burning out of dinner, man, and I just think, I don't know what he's saying there, but it sounds great, you know. Like I'm burning out of fuse. Rocket man. You know, just, I don't know what the song's about, but it's like flying up, going somewhere, like, boom. But it's the collection of the words and the music and all that stuff just all jumbled together. I remember thinking, God, why is this song hitting me so hard, you know? Anyway, enjoy that, folks. It's a really nice way. If you're doing a bit of housework or you're doing some emails or you're just relaxing for a bit, boom, put that on.
That is so lovely.
Good. I'm really glad.
Thank you.
It's a total pleasure.
And if anybody's listening from My Life in a Mixtape, I would like to go on it, please.
Yes, do you know, I did think you would be a great guest on this.
Because music is my drug of choice.
Yeah, now. That and Coke Zero.
That and Coke Zero. So I'm bringing something that my godson and his partner mm-hmm. recommended to us. Mm-hmm. And that was a podcast called Someone Knows Something.
Right.
So basically, it's going back to look at old crime scenes, kind of cold. It's not cold calling, it's cold.
Cold case.
Case, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, that's
looking
all right.
At cold cases, and then kind of going back and trying to go over the crime. I mean, they are, it's long and it's drawn out, and I have the attention span of a newt. And I will talk about that in a moment because on Stephen Bartlett, who we've recommended before, The Secret Diary of a CEO,
yes,
his latest podcast features Johan Hari,
ah.
who is a journalist, and he wrote Chasing the Scream, which is the book about reframing how we look at drug addiction.
Okay. Oh, I think I remember this.
Which,
yeah, yes,
which
yes.
I kind of had a love-hate relationship with because it kind of turned on its head everything that I believe to be true about addiction. But it's very compelling, and Johan Hari did an amazing TED Talk about it. Anyway, Johan Hari is the guest on Stephen Bartlett's podcast this week. Did you listen to Jordan Peterson on Stephen Bartlett?
No. Really? Has he had him on?
Yeah. After Jimmy. So it's gone Jimmy Carr.
Right.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Jordan Peterson. I don't know why I was about to say that.
Okay.
And now Johan Hari.
Okay.
And Johan is talking about this inability to concentrate on anything, that we have such an acutely ruined attention span due to social media and the way that we digest information on our phones and on our tablets. It made me realise that this podcast is a lovely kind of amble through 9 episodes. They're only half an hour long.
Okay, yes.
Of kind
like
of
that,
let's
yes.
like look at like the minutiae of a case, because a cold case, that's what you have to go over because someone's missed something.
Yeah.
There is a minute detail that maybe got brushed over.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, because after 2 eps, I just want to go to the last step and find out, did they find anything? But where's
you
the joy? You're
slightly impatient.
No, but
that.
It's
yes,
not,
yes.
What I've learned is, I used to have a lot of patience, but actually it's none of our faults.
Okay.
We have all been ruined.
Mm-hmm.
He did an article in The Guardian, which he sent me, Johan, and I was like, I read it and I thought, my God, this is me.
Okay. You sent it to me, this article.
I did.
Yes,
I did.
Read that.
Anyway,
okay.
So that's worth listening to, the Stephen Bartlett, Johan Hari podcast, because it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, go back for you personally. I'm recommending to you, Michael Douglas,
yes.
the Jordan Peterson one.
Yep, okay, I'll listen to that.
But this something, Someone Knows Something, is really good. So it starts off with David Rigdon, who is the host.
Mm-hmm.
He is looking for any kind of clues that can help with the disappearance, and I think it was something like 40 years ago, of a 5-year-old boy at a lake in... Is it Ontario? Somewhere like that in Canada.
Yeah.
But they have this really, really fascinating accent, which is Irish, Canadian. Okay. There's a kind of real blend. I keep thinking, oh, they must be Irish nationals, but they're not. It's actually the accent. And Adrian McNaughton was on a fishing trip with his dad and a few other, couple of other kids and another adult. And they turn around and he's just walked away. And in the first episode, it's heartbreaking because the dad said to everybody, stop shouting, because what happens is in the mountains, your voice bounces. And so you're shouting for Adrian, but Adrian might be thinking that your voice is coming from somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
And just be
around.
Walking in completely the opposite direction.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There are a chain of however many, five lakes or something, and they're all about a kilometer apart. So it just doesn't bear thinking, you know, bears, everything.
Oh,
what
God,
happened to
him?
But they talk to all the divers, they talk to everybody. But what's really great is that David is from this area. So the first series is a cold case from the place where he lives. So he goes round to his mum and dad's house. His dad gets out the topographical maps to show the kind of lay of the land and
stuff,
the heights and everything.
Yeah.
And actually, you'd be climbing up this high, or if you were a little five-year-old, you'd want to go there. You know, and it's... I love that picking apart. I've got a slightly sort of statistical mind, and I really like this when somebody just tweezes apart the hairs to make a knot become lots of strands of hair, and it sort of suddenly kind of clears. Anyway, I'm on Ep 4. I'm really enjoying it. So, yes, they are about 30 minutes long each ep, and like great for a car journey. But I haven't listened to... I've only been listening to a Make Your Life Better well-being type podcast.
Okay.
I haven't listened to a criminal podcast for ages.
Well, the last one would have been the Serial, I would have thought.
Yeah,
something
exactly.
Like that.
That's exactly what it was.
How good was Serial?
It was so good.
Wasn't it?
But this is also really, really good.
Well, funnily enough, I've got a similar recommendation of a podcast. I mean, why we're encouraging people to listen to other podcasts rather than this one is something that's troubling me slightly. But, you know, we're not saying you have to substitute ours
no.
with these. You know, you listen to all of them, right? So, Linus's girlfriend put me onto one called The Caliphate. I mean, I've always been slightly interested even just in the word Caliphate.
Yes.
So, such a nice kind
of word. It's a lovely word.
It falls out of the mouth really nicely. But it's quite a horrible and oppressive thing, right? So the Caliphate, the idea is that it's a state that
is
exclusively...
I don't know what Caliphate is.
So it's like it can be a town or a city or a country or something like that that's strictly Muslim, that's ruled by Muslims, and it's a place just for Muslim people.
So Christians wouldn't be allowed to live
there? No. If you want to go and live there, I guess you'd have to live by Sharia law and you know, kind of, I guess, the rules laid out by someone
like
ISIS.
It's like an Islamic state.
It's like an Islamic state, so yes. So, but I was interested to know a bit more about it. And then, so there is a podcast called The Caliphate that she very kindly put me onto. And it's run by the New York Times. It's run by a very famous journalism there who covers... Sorry?
Sorry, journalist, yeah.
Yeah. At the New York Times there, who covers terrorism, really. And she's on a quest to understand ISIS. And she manages to track down somebody who left Canada, Canadian middle-class kid, you know, was all right at school. Everything was fine, but he went and joined ISIS. He sneaked his way into Syria and joined up with the Caliphate and became a police officer for ISIS, or IS. And she gets to interview him. And episode one's really interesting, so it's a kind of a...
How long are they?
They're only 30 minutes long.
I see, that's my
favourite. Yeah, it's
favorite.
Great. I know, I was
is
the same.
Is our podcast too long? Can our listeners let us know?
Yeah, let us know.
I don't think it is.
No, we try and
we
do around the 45-minute mark. Don't
we're doing less facts, more chat. Yeah, okay.
And then episode two, they sit down and start to ask him about, you know, why he did it. What's interesting is then, you know, the journalist in question kind of will then talk a little bit about her experience that she's been kind of researching and writing about ISIS now for about a year, and she's been out in the Middle East and finding all the information she can about it. And she says what is quite common is that you would think a lot of these people that join ISIS are somehow
disaffected,
loners, or have got a violent past, and she said they're not, like, they're just like you and me, weirdly. And it's very interesting when you read about the Germans in World War II as well, you know, that did some pretty horrific things. Actually, they were just regular folk that just seemed to turn really bad. And I guess, I don't know, but I'm assuming that ISIS or the Islamic State have found a way of tapping into that in people, in regular folk.
Well, I think they project an image of an Islamic State of being something of a heavenly...
Well, so it's,
you know, you it's get
ordered by a single God. That's the other thing. So there's only one God.
Yes.
Whereas we've got a mixture of gods right here, like depending on what religious faith you've got. So there's only one. And one thing he says that when he arrives in Syria is that there's a sense of relief that now there is just one God. And all
I don't understand that because as a Christian, there's only one God. And his son?
Yeah, but I guess you're accepting of other religious beliefs that would believe other things.
Oh, so they don't accept any religious...
They don't accept any of that. No. Well, according to this podcast...
But I think as a fervent Christian, you wouldn't accept... You would accept your Christianity. You don't think, but there's probably also...
But you do accept the fact that people believe different things to you, and you'd still have them as friends, and you'd have them around your house and all that stuff.
Yeah, but people... The IS state
no
wouldn't... Okay, no.
It's one... Okay. One set of rules under one God, and
that's that.
But it's really interesting that he's happy when he gets there that that's the case. He says it feels like
a relief
for him, and I think, oh, that's interesting, you know. Anyway, he said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go and kill people? Do you want to be a suicide bomber? Do you want to be all this? And he's a bit scared at that point, so he signs up to be a policeman, where you get to enforce and punish for various things that people are doing. So he gets to whip people and beat people and all that kind of stuff. The funny thing about this podcast is about 8 to 10 months ago, it turns out that this guy giving the interview was not who he said he was and has been discredited. So what's quite interesting about it is you get all this information and then you're a bit unsure about how much of it he's made up and how much of it is true. So you have to let people listen to it to see how what they feel about that. But at the beginning of each episode now, there's a little caveat that the New York Times have put in to say this person now has been proved to be not trustworthy. So, first of all, it's like, why would you go and do that? Why would you go to Syria and do all that?
And why would you lie?
But why would you not do it and then lie about doing it on a podcast or a broadsheet newspaper? It's very weird. The whole thing's quite weird and quite creepy, but it's really good. Anyway, as you can see, it's got a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. There is 2 seasons of it, I think, altogether by the looks of things. It started in 2018 and it's run now up to 2020. But I'm really enjoying it. And again, just 30 minutes long. And it's a little break from chat about COVID and all of that stuff.
Oh my God.
And it's like a little, I don't know, a little escape, for want of a better phrase, even though it's quite a brutal and a harrowing thing to listen to. It's also utterly fascinating.
Yes, thank you very much for that.
That's all right.
Well, how weird is that? The guy, so they recorded the whole podcast and then they found out that he wasn't.
Yeah,
so they had to put a disclaimer at the beginning of every pod.
Yes, so that's just come
that's
about recently,
so
the disclaimer.
Weird.
It's very strange, isn't it? Yes.
Isn't it?
I know.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On the subject of music, I have been reintroduced by Apple Music back into the Last Shadow Puppets, and I can't stop listening to it at the moment. I can't believe how good that record is. I always knew it was good.
The Last Shadow Puppets.
Yeah, so it's called, I think it's called The Element of Surprise. It's an album that you can get. It's on iTunes and Spotify and all the usual places. It's Miles Kane and Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys. They have a sub-band called the Last Shadow Puppets.
Yeah.
But from start to finish, I just think, God, the music is so rich and so full of instrumentation, and the lyrics are so nicely done, the rhyming syllables, that it's like nothing else I've really heard before. And I've probably talked about it before on the podcast, but the last 3 days I listened to it non-stop. And, you know, you think, oh, I thought I'd get bored of this. But it's too deep and melodic to get bored of. So if you're mooching around the house and you're looking for something to listen to, put on The Last Shadow Puppets, The Element of Surprise. Oh, no, it's not. It's called Everything You've Come to Expect.
Great. I mean, I'm seconding that. I loved it.
It's really good. And Le Cactus, that song, the French song that's in it.
Oh, yes, it's great.
Right? It's just, I listened to it all the way here and I was just like,
it's really good.
The production on it and the clarity of the voice and the bang of it. And I've no idea what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, you must know.
I haven't really properly.
Okay, because it's all in French.
Because some of it, I'm sorry, his accent's not really very good.
No, well, it's Sheffield French.
Some of it I can't understand.
Okay.
But I'm going to listen to it properly.
Let me just double check I have got the name of that album right. Yeah, Everything You've Come to Expect. And listen to the deluxe edition of it. It's really good. And then if you can really be bothered, there is there's a YouTube video of one of the songs. And God, it's good.
Is
it? It's a single shot video.
Of? Which song?
I'm trying to find it. I can't remember what it is. I'm going to have a quick look for it. Because it's bloody good. And he sings it live in the video. So it's a slightly different version to the song.
Mm.
But he's got he's just wearing a waistcoat, but nothing else.
Love what Alex Turner looks like, don't
you?
Yeah,
he looks great. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, yeah. I always think, would Paul Weller wear it? Would Alex Turner wear it? I'll wear it.
Yeah.
You know.
But are we ever going to see you in a waistcoat with nothing on underneath?
I mean, if I could just do a few more crunches and a few ab exercises on Your Goals from Davina, I think you could see me in that next New Year's Eve, maybe, yeah.
Okay, good.
I might have to be a bit tipsy.
While you're looking that up, should I tell you something else?
Of course you should, yeah.
I want to talk to you about Dr. Rupee.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know The Doctor's Kitchen?
No.
It's an Instagram account.
Mm-hmm.
I have met Dr. Rupee before at Wellfest when I went to Ireland, and he was there doing kind of cooking demonstrations, and I delved into his, I've been following him on Instagram for ages, but I haven't really gone back to his, you know, I was out of the algorithm, slightly lost, I hadn't seen him. Anyway, I ended up going down to Sarah and Renshaw's this weekend, and my godson cooked us a soup.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Oh,
yes.
My God, this soup was so good. And I thought if a 28-year-old, Lord help me, I'm very sorry if you're 29, Linus, but if a 28-year-old can make a soup as delicious as that, I definitely can do it.
Yeah. And yes, of course you can.
I said, where's this recipe from? This is unbelievably good. And it is from Doctor's Kitchen 321.
Okay.
So the concept is you've got three fruit and veg in there. You've got two servings, so it's for two people, and it's all in one pan. Music to my ears.
You're a one-pan girl,
I'm a one-pan girl.
Yeah.
I don't want any washing up.
Yeah.
This book is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's got so many fantastic recipes in it, so I can't recommend that high enough. Secondly, you've got to follow his Instagram account. So let me quickly tell you, I'll tell you a bit about Dr. Rupee. So Dr. Rupee's a GP, and he's worked in the ER, and he's done quite a bit about nutritional medicine, and he's been doing kind of a deep dive into how food can be a medicine.
Yeah.
So he started the Doctor's Kitchen in 2015, and he wanted to teach everybody to cook their way to health, but also how beautiful food can be and the effects of eating and living well. And he's done things like TED Talks. He's got a podcast. He has done a thing about thrifty cooking, but he, well, which is
like
important.
The sound of that.
Like,
yeah, no, I was laughing
like,
because I
you know,
it.
People discount eating well because of cost.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter survives on £20 a week and cooks fresh a lot. And she's become so savvy. I keep saying to her, you've got to start an Instagram account. on. She does batch cooking. She's really, I'm so impressed with her. Anyway, the sweetest thing happened. I went to go and look at his Instagram account. I haven't looked at it for ages. And there's a picture of him and a lady.
Yeah.
And his whole Instagram account is all food. And I was like, oh, there's a lady. Who's this? And it says, happy 2022. To kick off the year, I wanted to introduce you to someone very special to me. Rochelle, my fiancé. I usually keep this side of my life private. So I totally get that. But this year will mark a huge change, blah, blah, blah. And then she says, join me in welcoming. She's got a lot of jobs being Mrs. Doctor's Kitchen she has yet to discover, including holding the video camera whenever I cook, recipe testing all meals, and shushing everyone around the flat whenever I'm podcasting. On a serious note, I'm super lucky to be in a relationship with such a wonderful person.
Oh.
And meeting my amazing extended Australian-Italian family over Christmas has been brilliant. And I'll be coming to Oz a lot more often. Well, we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the invite round to his house when we go to Sydney.
Her hair looks great, by the way.
She's got great hair.
Yeah.
That's Australian beach hair.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It looks so good.
That's what
that makes me think of Angie Smith.
Yeah.
She's another person hair. You should follow.
Yes. Angie Smith Style, I think.
Angie Smith Style online. She lives in Australia now. She just has the best style and kind of just knows all the kind of good tips on how to look good. But I just thought that was extremely sweet. But look at this food.
Wow.
Look at the prawns.
I love prawns.
Stop it. Seafood paella.
Mm.
He's got, I mean, just all of the food is ridiculous. So good.
Ooh, what's that?
That is coconut? Balance. A Lamington.
What's that? Lamington Plus. Better than Australia.
Few people have told me to check out Flower and Stone. Mm. Flower and Stone is another Instagram account. If you want delicious looking sweet treats, go and check them out. Flower and Stone. Flower as in Floure. They're from Woolloomooloo.
Yeah.
Sydney.
Very nice. Yeah, good. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my video. So nobody else will be able to see this, but you'll be able to go and watch it. So,
jelly. I was Vaseline. You were the father of modern medicine.
It's very cool, isn't it?
I was Mr. Clean.
Oh my God, nipple. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
He's definitely wearing a waistcoat because he's worked out on his arms.
He's really
worked
totally,
out, hasn't he? I mean, look at that. Those deltoids are amazing.
Look at them trousers. Yeah. He's thought, I've just come out of the gym. Let's shoot the video.
He's a fantastically enigmatic performer.
He's great, isn't
he?
Yeah, I know. And Miles Kane is on the guitar.
Oh, my God.
But it's such a great video. If you like the album, go and have a listen to this. It's called Is This What You Wanted? And it's a cover of a Leonard Cohen song. This is not one of theirs.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, there's two or three covers on the album. But, oh, if I'm ever feeling a bit down in the dumps and a bit low, I put that on.
I thought you were going to say, get a waistcoat on.
No, but I do put that on and then I get dressed up and go out.
Aww.
All good in the hood. So, we watched Don't Look Up.
Yes.
And we enjoyed it.
Yes.
I really liked it.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
I not so much, but you loved it.
It was an Adam McKay movie, and I thought, how do I know Adam McKay? What else has he done? And he did The Big Short.
Yeah.
And The Big Short is a movie about a banking collapse of 2008. Yes. So I thought, oh, well, I really like Don't Look Up. I'm going to go back and watch The Big Short. Now, I watched The Big Short. It came out in about 2012, I think. And for me, it was still too complicated a situation to try and grasp. I still couldn't properly work out why there'd been this huge banking collapse that, you know, literally imploded all over the world. Like, it was a catastrophe.
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
It's horrific, right?
But I didn't fully understand why it happened. Mm. And what this movie tries to do is to explain that to you in kind of layman's terms, but it's not lay enough for me. But they do a great bit with Margot Robbie in a bath. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, where they say, if you want to know what a subprime loan is, then here's Margot Robbie in a bath to tell you. And then they get other kind of vehicles. They get the very famous chef to tell you what a condensed tranche is or something like that. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to watch that again. What a cast is in it. Steve Carell's in it.
Brad Pitt.
Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt. Yeah, I mean, it's just brilliant. And Christian Bale, of course, is in it as well. But I was totally gripped by it this time. And I think we've all learned quite a lot about the world in the last 8-10 years or something like that. So it was a much... I enjoyed the film much more this time round because I had much more understanding of what had happened. And when they're explaining these things to me now, I now have a much greater understanding of what had happened. So if you watched that film once before and you thought, do you know what, I didn't really get it or whatever, go back and watch it again because it is a belter of a movie. 7.8 on IMDb, which is...
very good.
Easily acceptable.
Yeah.
And the film runs at about 2 hours, I think. Steve Carell's also in it, is also brilliant. Ryan Gosling looks terrible in it, though. They've done something to his hair.
Yeah.
They tinted him really dark and put a lot of fake tan on him.
Quite good, though.
Yeah,
like, he looks totally different.
Yes, he does.
I mean, the idea isn't to look good in every movie, it's to look...
But I'd highly recommend it. It's on Netflix at the moment, and it's just a really good watch. It's a high-quality film that, like all good fiction, you should learn something truthful. And although the film is based on a true story, you know, obviously they're all actors and things like that, but you get so much from it that I absolutely loved it.
I'm quite angry about the way the world able to compromise all of our lives to the point where the banking system nearly completely collapsed.
I mean, I think it did. I mean, it had to be bailed out. And there's this great moment where Steve Carell says, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? And then there's a bit where he sees these two very prominent banking figures leave the White House. And he says, they knew they'd get bailed out. That's why they did it. Mm. And you just think, like everybody's been fooled. Only one guy went to prison.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
That's terrible, isn't it?
And he went to prison for some kind of menial small charges. Everybody else got away with it. Oh, it's very good. So I'd highly recommend that, folks, if you're interested. It's a really good movie.
This weekend, me and Sarah started watching The Tourist.
Yes.
With Jamie Dornan.
Mm, I watched a bit
now,
of it as well, yeah.
What I think is interesting about this, because I am going to recommend it, it's got 7.3 on IMDb. It is a mini-series. I think there are 6 episodes. Yep, there are 6 episodes. And it's based in Australia. Backpacker has a horrific accident, an ominous, dark accident, wakes up with no memory of it and tries to rebuild his life, and things just get darker and weirder from there. What is weird about it? I think Jamie Dornan actually is quite good in it. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was fantastic in The Fall.
Yeah.
He might be ashamed of 50 Shades of Grey, but it was a big grossing film, so he shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
But this is Jamie Dornan back to how we like him, brooding, dark. He's a bit confused. He's good in it. I wasn't sure about how good his supporting cast were, but the thing is, at the end of the first episode, even if you're a bit like, oh, not sure about the acting, you're just like, I've got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And we were just, it's a binge-worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised it's done so well. Mm. It is absolutely addictive. And as time goes by, you get more invested in the characters. You understand why they are the way that they are. And actually, it's ended up being quite a fun watch. So just a very quick recommendation. The Tourist with Jamie Dornan. And that's also on Netflix.
On that note, one of the problems with where we were watching The Tourist is they had a television and they had the Motion Plus feature set on. Mm-hmm. Now, most people might not know this or not, but most movies and TV shows, well, most movies and high-end dramas are shot at 24 frames a second on a camera.
Yes.
And what that means is that every second that goes by, 24 photos have been taken.
Yes.
Now, your eye can actually see a shutter, like a judder.
Yes.
Because 24 is not enough to fill the gap. You could see it. So what your brain does automatically is fills in that gap with whatever it thinks it should go in there. And you get an image projected onto your eyes. So when you're watching a movie at the cinema or something like that, you're watching 24 frames a second, usually played back to you. And that's when things look cinematic. When people say it's got a real cinematic film, one of the things is this 24 frames a second effect that it has on your brain and your eyes.
Mm.
What modern TVs have done is up the frame rate of what you're watching to 60 frames a second, and it makes it ultra smooth.
But it's too... It's,
but you,
it feels
we
like
have,
you're watching a friend's video.
So back in the 60s and 70s, they used to shoot soap operas on these cheap cameras, and these cheap cameras used to shoot tape, not film, and the tape ran at 60 frames a second.
Mm.
And it's actually called the soap opera effect. So when you're watching a movie and your TV is playing it back to you at 60 frames a second, you're actually seeing something
that
look...
That makes so much sense.
It makes it look
cheap. It
does.
Cheap. It does.
And it's called the soap opera effect. So what you need to do is go into this picture settings on your TV remote and you'll find something called Motion Plus or Motion Blur or Motion Smooth or something like that. Turn it all off.
Yeah.
And then go back and watch the programme.
I mean, you did do that to all... Like the televisions in my house, I'm very grateful.
And I did
that.
I
mean, I sound like...
I did that at Sarah's as well for episodes 2 and 3 of The Tourist.
Thank you.
Because it got better. But it got better largely because that shutter was off. Because there's something about the acting at 60 frames a second that looks cheap.
Yes.
The whole set looks fake. Everything looks too smooth and polished. And I really dislike it. Whenever I turn up at someone's house and I see it, I go, give me your remote control. I'm going to change your life. But watching something like The Bourne Ultimatum with motion blur on,
it's not like
watching something a child has made.
Okay.
It's weird. So,
there's
a top recommendation for you there, folks. Get rid of motion blur.
I don't think we've got very long left, but I'm very quickly going to tell everybody to follow this company. I think it's on Eventbrite, where basically they do kind of pop-up events. And the thing that I really like about... Let me just double check. So I love Eventbrite because they do events all over the country. So this one was Paint Like Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Manchester. It's on Thursday the 10th of February, 2022. It's at 7:30 p.m. and they just do a little painting class. I mean, imagine going on a first date doing a painting class for the evening where you learn to paint like Picasso. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's something a bit different to do. It's getting out of the house and not watching telly.
A bit of still life on first date.
A bit of still life on a first date. I don't think there's any still life in the Picasso painting one, unfortunately. But it is worth signing up to these companies like Eventbrite or Sea or Tickets or Ticketmaster, looking at those places, because it's not just about concerts and gigs, which can sometimes be really expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you haven't necessarily got 40, 50 quid to kind of chuck about. But, you know, if you wanted to go on a date with a loved one, instead of dinner, why don't you make yourself some sandwiches, go to the Picasso painting pop-up in Manchester if you live in that area, and go and have some sandwiches in the square.
Very
with
good.
With a thermos flask.
And it's in Manchester.
Yeah, it's in Manchester. But what I'm saying is keep your eyes open for events in your local area that aren't just comedy and theatre. There are a lot of really creative, fun things to do.
Very good point. Let's see if we've got a couple of shout-outs we can do here. What have we got here? Oh, you mentioned Fitzpatrick's
Cordial.
So this is Amanda McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't actually talked about.
No,
we've mentioned it.
We need to get hold of some. I can't find it. I need to find it.
Or something like
that. Do you think Fitzpatrick's would send us some?
Well, if we mention their name enough, then
Fitzpatrick's.
You mentioned Fitzpatrick Cordial on your last podcast, and they are from Rawtenstall in Lancashire.
They're Lancastrian.
I think so. Rawtenstall, I'm sure, is Lancashire. Yeah, they own the last temperance bar in the UK. I wonder what that is. The last temperance bar. I wonder if that's the name. The Last Temperance Bar. No. It's an amazing little piece of history that's been modernised in the past few years. I go a few times a month and we love it. They have recently been featured with the Hairy Bikers and they're trying their different flavours. I've cut the Hairy Bikers' hair. That's my claim to fame. They also do many sugar-free ones. Maybe Davina would also enjoy. They also make cakes
with
flavours of their cordials. Blood Tonic is my favourite. They are on Instagram. So, Mr. Fitzpatrick is on Instagram. Amanda McLaren, thank you so much for that.
Can I just educate our listeners?
Yeah.
A temperance bar is also known as an alcohol-free bar, sober bar, or dry bar. It's a type of bar that does not serve alcoholic beverages. An alcohol-free bar can be a business establishment or located in a non-business environment or event, such as a wedding. Alcohol-free bars typically serve non-alcoholic beverages, mocktails, blah, blah, blah.
Mr. Fitzpatrick Temperance Bar is what they are on Instagram.
How cool.
But we are going to follow them and we suggest everybody else do the same because their cordials are
so
mind-blowingly
good. They're mind-blowing. And I didn't know they did sugar-free ones, so that makes life even better.
Really good. Thanks, Amanda. And we will get some in and talk about them because the ones we've tasted are bloody brilliant.
Oh, I mean, so good.
Claire, which is 06 Claire on Instagram. Davina and Michael, good to have the pair of you back. Can I recommend BBC's Town series, Sounds of the 21st Century? It's snippets of news and music for each year of the 21st century. It's fascinating to listen back to what seems like yesterday, but now how history seems to be repeating itself so much. God, that sounds really good.
How funny is that?
This is Claire. So it's called Sounds of the 21st Century, and it's on the BBC Sounds app. I'm going to have a little listen to that on the way back in the car. Oh, we've got a big one here. Alison Henry, hi guys, just listened to the latest episode. I think I need an ice maker. Yes, you do. Enjoy your Fitzpatrick cordial. I heard about these just before Christmas on the Hairy Bikers Go North series.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Said exactly the same thing about the Temperance Bar.
The Temperance Bar. My recommendation is to find loads more recommendations is the Hairy Bikers series on iPlayer. They basically travel across the north from Cumbria to Northumberland, visiting small businesses with amazing products.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but not just that. Most of other initiatives attached, they mainly revolve around supporting less privileged mental health
can
support.
Can I say something?
Yeah, of course.
Hairy Bikers are with my agents. Alison, this is a very, very good idea. I think we should get them on and do a Hairy Bikers special.
Okay.
Where they tell us all these amazing recommendations from their show.
Great. Let's get them on.
Okay.
You know, one of them is a hair and makeup artist in the world of TV dramas.
We've now got to get them on because they can tell us all about
it. It's great, isn't it? Yeah. It was good. I made a list.
This is
great. This year.
Oh, Alison, that's great. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. And let's have one more from Wendy Bell.
Natural, interesting.
Natural deodorant. Says, hi, you lovely player. Glad the pod is back. It's a highlight of my week and makes my ironing so much better.
Yeah.
When you say it makes your ironing better, do you mean like you?
No, I think she
the
enjoys
creases
it more
because
she's so happy.
just thought I'd let you know about deodorant by Lucy B. I've used a lot of her products, which are great, and thought I'd try a new natural deodorant. In the past, none have been great for me, but this is brilliant. It's a cream that turns into a powder and non-sticky, cruelty-free, vegan, palm oil-free, 88% natural. It's a beautiful scent and it's suitable sensitive skin. Not cheap at £12.50 for 50 grams, but still a worthwhile product that's better for your skin.
I mean,
wow,
you know
great.
What? £12.50 for 50 grams, but that pot is small, but it depends because actually you'd probably only need a very small amount. A deodorant is only to stop the smell. It's not...
Yeah.
I mean, I think you wouldn't need much. Mm. It could go quite a long way.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, that was a very good recommendation.
I was about to wish everyone a Happy New Year, but I've realised we did that last week.
We did.
Oh!
Wait! It's our second birthday next week.
Is it? It's not until the 24th, I think.
So, but aren't we going out this Friday?
Maybe.
Oh no, we're going out this Friday.
So the next week's episode that we record, that will be the anniversary episode.
Okay. So forget that. Yeah.
I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, yeah. It's nice to talk to everybody.
It's lovely to talk to everybody. Yeah. It's lovely to talk to you, Michael.
It's very nice to talk to you too, yeah. You're looking nice today. You look pretty good today. Yeah, you know, hair's like okay and everything. And I don't know what I'm saying.
No.
it's very nice to spend time with you today.
Yeah.
I've got a dash back to St Albans now. I'm going to a hair clinic tonight.
Very nice.
It's Tuesday, by the way, folks, just so you know. I'm going to go to the cinema tonight to watch Licorice Pizza.
Oh, good. Well, I can't wait to hear the review.
So anyone else wants to go and see that, then great, because we'll be talking about it next week.
Great. So we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.